Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. To finish up on our last segment about the Pennsylvania Republican primary, you know, this is amazing about Republicans. Mehmet Oz lives in New Jersey. He doesn't live in Pennsylvania. Here we have Tim Michaels running for governor, and he has homes in Connecticut and New York. And then you had Sean Duffy that Trump tried to get to run in Wisconsin. He's a former congressman who lives in New Jersey. These guys all live somewhere else. They live in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and they all figure, well, we'll pluck off some choice little state, pluck off Wisconsin, pluck off Pennsylvania. Well, no. You want to run for Senate in Pennsylvania, Oz? Why don't you live in Pennsylvania? And you want to run for governor of Wisconsin, guys? Why don't you actually live in Wisconsin? I'm talking about full-time, not part-time. You don't have some kind of a cottage up north where you go in the summer. Well, I'll tell you what, there was a great call from the United Nations over the weekend. And this goes to the nub of what's happening, what's hurting the world in this Russian invasion of Ukraine. It's not just the murder and the genocide and the torture of the people of Ukraine. That is genocide. It is a war crime, and the people doing it should be punished, should be executed, in my opinion. That's what we did in the Second World War with the Nazis and the Japanese high command. But Ukraine is also the breadbasket of the world, one of them. It's probably the second or third largest wheat producer in the world. And many, many people in Africa, about half of Africa, half the population of Africa, depends on food from Ukraine, believe it or not. Well, the UN just came out with a call for opening the Ukraine ports to feed the hungry, not just in Ukraine, but in African parts of Asia. What Russia is doing by blockading the ports of Ukraine, and they're doing it because they want, they say, to restore Russia's greatness. There's no Russian greatness. Briefly, in the 19th century, they came up with a couple of novelists and a couple of musicians. That's it. That's it. The whole 20th century, ever since the First World War, was Lenin, Stalin, communism, the Gulag, hatred, invasion of Hungary, invasion of Czechoslovakia, depriving people of freedom and murdering them. And now under Putin, it's the same thing. But what they're doing is, Mariupol is a port on the Black Sea. It used to export Russian grain. Odessa is a port on the Black Sea. It still does export Ukrainian grain, but there are 26 Russian ships in the Black Sea who will sink them if they come out. This isn't hurting the United States in a very real sense. Our food prices are going up, and that's bad. Our food prices are going up, but we can feed ourselves. It's not going to hurt Europe. Yes, their food prices are going up, but in Ukraine, in the Ukrainian wheat that was supposed to go to Africa, if you're in a village in some of these countries in Africa, it's not that food prices are going up. There are no prices. There is no food. There are no supermarkets. You sit around the village in the dust, looking, you can't grow crops in a lot of Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, or anywhere in Africa. You can't grow crops. It's not just that there's no water, there's no technology, no infrastructure. There's no ability to do it. You import your food. What Russia is doing is starving Africa, starving half the people of Africa. And the Russians do not care about that. If they're going to commit genocide against European people in Ukraine, they do not care about starving Africans in Africa. But the UN does care, and the UN came out and said, open up the ports and permit safe passage of food. The Russians snicker. They say no. That was predictable. They bomb food storage in Ukraine. There are food storage dumps where food is stored up so it can be dispensed to a population. If Mariupol, 99% of that city has been destroyed. Every building practically has been destroyed. How are you going to hold the job? There's no shop to go to be a clerk. There's no manufacturing facility to go to make anything. There's no hospital to go to be a healthcare worker. They bombed a maternity hospital. They bombed a children's hospital. These people are animals. People that did that are animals. So if you say, okay, well, out of the goodness of your heart, why don't you open up the Black Sea ports of Mariupol, Odessa, and otherwise, and not blockade them so people in Africa don't starve? They literally laugh. Why do they laugh? Because the Wagner Group that one of the oligarchs heads and owns and makes a fortune off of is nothing but an army of mercenaries and sadists who are rented out to oligarchs and autocrats around the world, and African countries, most recently in Mali. Hire them, give them $10 million a month out of the Mali treasury. How much loose change do you think there is rattling around the Mali treasury? And they are told to go into African villages of tribes that are different from the ruling tribe, or that have political parties that are different from the ruling party, and kill everybody in the village. So they walk into the village with submachine guns. Little kids come running along or trying to run away. They gun them down. Gun down the women. They rape the women like they're doing in Ukraine. Gun down the men. And for that, they get 10 million. The autocrat, the oligarch in Russia, gets 10 million a month, and he gives half of it to Putin. So if they're willing to do that, do you seriously think that they care if those people eat anything before they kill them? Russia is not a civilized country. It is not a civilized country. It looks like a civilized country. It should be. And from time to time with Gorbachev and Yeltsin, it tried to be. But it is run by the Russian mafia. And the head of the Russian mafia is Vladimir Putin. Going to the lines. Dan of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dan?
Morning, Matt. You're getting close to an area that I've been thinking a lot about. What do you think we should be doing, you know, or maybe, I guess, is it too soon to start planning for a post-war Ukraine? Do we need something like a Marshall Plan to make sure, you know, that their country doesn't fall apart and, you know, devolve into almost a terrorist state, kind of like Afghanistan did, yeah, back in the 80s after, you know, Russia failed there, too?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And let me just boil down what Dan is talking about. The Marshall Plan was put into effect right after the Second World War. A lot of people said, well, why should we rebuild Germany? And why should we rebuild Japan? They're enemies. But Truman and Marshall was a general in the army that he was put in charge of this. They realized long term that if you rebuilt Germany and Japan, but without nuclear weapons, they would be productive countries. They had great, you know, they had very long cultivated histories, and they could be allies of the United States against communism. So we put a lot of money into it. And a lot of people in the Republican Party said you shouldn't be doing that, but it was the best thing we ever did. Rebuilt all of Europe. All of Europe looked like Mariupol does right now. Remember, we bombed Cologne, they bombed London, we bombed, you know, they bombed all over Germany, France was bombed. One of the cities that wasn't bombed was Prague, in what's now the Czech Republic. I've been there. It's the most beautiful city you ever. It's just sort of sits like a shimmering jewel from 150 years ago. Got to go to Prague. It's a beautiful city. Anyway, we rebuilt it. Well, yeah, we do need something like that. Look what happened in Grozny and Aleppo in Syria, Grozny in Chechnya. These are people that don't have a population that have really the unity and the ability to build back. The Ukrainians are very, very skillful people. They were the breadbasket and the manufacturing locus of the Russians themselves. They can easily do it. Here's the thing, Dan. Zelensky has estimated, and I don't think he's far off, that it will take about $600 billion, that's 0.6 trillion, to rebuild it. Now, first of all, you want to go in and make sure that any money that comes in is not characterized by fraud, is not stolen, that there's integrity to it. He has a lot of integrity, and I think the people around him do, but that is something that we can easily achieve. The second thing is that $600 billion is not coming out of the United States. We put a hell of a lot of money in there already. But here's where I suggest it comes out of. $350 billion of it is on deposit by Russia in Frankfurt, in London, and in New York. And it's been frozen right now. Biden has already put in an executive order that we should, and then urge Congress to actually pass legislation, that we should not only freeze oligarch assets and Russian assets, but we should take them. And there we're talking about yachts, we're talking about apartments in New York, estates, but even if you put all that together, it doesn't come up to $600 billion. I mean, some of the most expensive yacht was $700 million. That's not even a billion. Here we're talking about $600 billion. You got to get to Russian assets. And I think there's just a decree. Biden does it by executive order and the Congress passes it that says those assets are going to be used to repair the victim whom you raped. That's what they're going to be doing, 350 of it. Then what we do is we lean on Germany, strongest economy in Europe. We lean on Japan. We provide their defense. We lean on the UK. We lean on France and Italy and Spain, the EU in general. And we come up with that money under strict supervision. And the Russians, you know, you remember what happened in Germany after the First World War, and they had reparations. There were crippling reparations that led to the Second World War in part. But here, once we take their $350 billion and all of their oligarch and assets and so forth, we'll certainly have something like two-thirds of the $600 billion down. And then from there, there are loans from the internationally and from the UN and from the bank and so forth, International Monetary Fund, and we rebuild them. But that requires integrity of a peace agreement where we know that Russia is not going to go in and bomb them again the minute they let down their guard. That is the problem. But it's an excellent idea. There's got to be that kind of Marshall Plan. And one of the great things here is that the Marshall Plan will be largely funded by Russia. And the second thing is, if the average Russian objects, you say, your oligarchs and Putin steal 80% of your wealth, all of your trade surplus, your defense budget, they steal it. You only have something like 20% of your defense budget going to work, which is why so many of your soldiers got killed. You got to get with it, guys. You got to come up with a government that's honest. We don't care what the form is, it's got to be honest. Great idea, Dan. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.